app or our website, civicmedia.us.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. A day of historic events is coming to a close in London now that the coronation of King Charles III is over.
I think for both the King and the Queen, it was wonderful for them to come in, and I expect they were very nervous. And to go through this ancient ceremony with its many different stages, which must to many people look almost extraordinary. And yet all of it's got this most wonderful story in it. And we've watched that, we've witnessed it. And the king is now anointed, crowned, and enthroned.
ABC News royal consultant Alistair Bruce, an officer of arms to the king on the first day of the new king and queen's reign. A grand jury will look into the death of Jordan Neely, who died after being placed in a chokehold by a fellow New York subway rider last week. There are calls for Daniel Penny, the veteran who restrained Neely, to be charged. Another retailer is taking steps to stop its financial struggles. Christmas Tree Shops has filed for bankruptcy. This is ABC News. New details about an alleged killer's immigration status.
An official at U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement tells ABC News Carlos Dominguez, who attended the University of Davis until last week and has lived in Davis for years, is a Salvadoran national who entered the U.S. in 2009 in Texas as an unaccompanied minor. As a child, he was transferred to a family member and his immigration case was closed. But now accused of murder, ICE has placed a detainer hold on him, asking Yolo County to hand him over to ICE if he's ever released from local custody for the murders. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Dominguez pleaded not guilty yesterday to a series of stabbings in the college town, two of them fatal. We don't know which horse is going to win today's Kentucky Derby, but we know which one won't. ESPN says Forte has been scratched from the lineup due to a foot injury. A week after the New York City Transit Authority announced it would no longer publish commuter alerts to Twitter, those notices are back on the platform. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Are record high energy and water costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive. While you may not ask for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to be without heat, water, or power. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.heat.help. That's www.heat.help.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. A day of historic events is coming to a close in London now that the coronation of King Charles III is over.
I think for both the King and the Queen, it was wonderful.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Spring is almost here, and that means the environment will get a few months off from damaging road salt. There's a bill in the Wisconsin legislature to certify people who apply road salt and encourage them to do it responsibly. Mike Moen reports.
The DNR would be tasked with establishing training for individual commercial applicators who would learn methods for spreading snow and ice melting products that protect water quality. Representative Elijah Benke is a lead sponsor on the assembly side and noted the impact of salt ending up in waterways is becoming hard to ignore.
Harmful effects have been noticed in our native aquatic organisms and other freshwater ecosystems.
To ease any concerns from the business community, the bill has language surrounding liability protections to shield applicators from lawsuits stemming from a slip and fall incident. Others who testified noted the plan can reduce salt from being spread around while still protecting public safety. The measure has bipartisan support as well as backing from environmental advocates. University of Wisconsin professor Hillary Dugan testified in support of the bill. Speaking on her own behalf, she noted efforts to curb salt use go beyond protecting habitat and waterways.
And this hurts recreational activities. It hurts property values. Thinking about if your private groundwater well gets salty, Your property values reduced. You're left without drinkable water.
Dugan says state and local snowplow operators have made strides in being more efficient with their application of road salt or switching to less harmful products. She says incentivizing private contractors can accelerate progress. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection. Find our rate trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
He's the gravedigger, Gilbert Brown.
Where can you go where it's always a standard room only? You ain't gonna find that in Chicago.
It's never personal, only politics.
You ain't gonna find that in Minnesota, standing room only, because you can go to the gumball machine, stick a quarter in there, out come tickets.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
That's the way it is, man. We love football fans. Fans love us.
Weekdays 4 to 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey, everybody. How you doing? Welcome to another episode of the Cripescast. I am joined in this intro by the executive producer of the Cripescast, Colleen Maraca. The crowd goes wild.
Thank you.
How are we doing, Colleen?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
I like your shoes. Those are cool.
You always have to make a comment about my...
But your
fashion
outfit,
statement.
I know, it's just
fashion,
sort of
please.
Like, what's right in front of me? But no, yeah. Those are like, what kind of sandals are there? A little elevation on them?
A little bit.
Yeah?
They're called Ilse Jacobson's, my mom.
Okay, we're not dirty. Sponsoring them here.
But
okay.
They're my favorite because they have this like breathable texture.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And right. I have like a bunch like this, but this is my sandal. It looks really dirty.
Yeah, okay. It does look dirty, but that's okay. It means they're a working woman's shoe. Or sandal.
I like your shoes.
Thank you. They're boots. So interesting Cripescast we have for today. Here's how it started. I was doing a thing, I think I'm bellied up.
Yeah.
Where I was talking about ice fishing and like using lead heads. And then some of the folks from Get the Lead Out, which is an organization that we're talking to today, contacted me and they're like, hey, I don't know if you know this, but lead heads and using lead in fishing tackle is one of the things that's killing the loons. And I was like, no, I cannot be responsible for killing
Mr.
the loons.
Mr. Hippy Dippy.
Mr. Birdwatcher guy.
For real.
You know, I can't be watching the birds and then watching them die. So I was like, come on. be a guest on the Cripescast. I love to talk about it.
Yeah.
Love to chit chat about it. So it is actually very interesting. Basically, loons use lead. This is the quick tease here. Loons use the lead to digest. Geese also do that, but you know, they're probably not using a goose to like advertise Get the Lead Out, you know, because
yeah.
A lot of people are like,
I hate geese.
Maybe those geese should eat a little more lead.
Yeah.
And if they don't eat it, maybe I'll put a little lead inside them.
Oh, geez.
All right. Hunting joke. But also, if you are hunting for geese, you got to use steel shot, which is all part of the deal. Not putting lead in waterways. So anyway, it's pretty interesting. And me being sort of an environmental dude, I found a lot of this super interesting. And in fact, we're going to do a giveaway, actually. So if you're following us on Instagram this week and you see the video, you comment on it. We're going to choose someone who comments on the video to send them some tungsten weights instead of lead weights. They actually work great. There, a lot of people prefer them to the lead weights. The only thing is they can be a little bit spendier, okay?
Yeah, but Stephen and Kelly actually sent us a couple of shirts as well as some lures or some, I don't know, I'm not a fisherman, but they sent us some gear that you can use that's lead-free. And so if you comment on the video, you'll get some cool... Show them the little tackle box.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Here's
that
the tackle box.
Cool.
So it's not just the tackle box. Look at that. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
But we're also going to send you some of our tackle, Grandpa Bob's tackle box,
yep.
From MEPS.
Yeah.
And don't worry.
Is it lead free?
No, I think so. I'm
we'll check before we do that.
Yeah, we will. No, it is.
Yeah, comment on our video and we'll send you some of the great stuff that we're keeping some of our own because we do want to get the lead out stuff, but we are going to send you, we have an abundance. And since I'm not a fisher, let's send it to people that actually use it. And so we're going to give them some of the stuff that we got from Kelly and Steven.
Yeah, there you have it.
Thanks for sending it over. Charlie, can you do a loon impression?
Ooh.
Wait, no.
Ooh. Ooh.
No.
And that's why it's important to keep the loons alive, because we don't want to hear that. We want to hear the actual loons. Being a Minnesotan, that's our state bird. Like,
that is your state bird. So
yes. Loon juice. That's like a really good cider that we have.
Loon juice?
Loon juice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds like you squeezed a loon really hard and made some juice.
We'll never know. You don't want to know how the sausage gets made. You don't want to know how the cider gets made.
What is in loon juice?
It's just a cider. I think it was a local brewery where my parents are, but it's really good. And
like
it's
an alcoholic cider?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, well, I can look it up. It's really good, but we love our loons, and we also have the Minnesota loons, I think is our, it's not our soccer team. We just love the loons.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay.
Well.
And I feel like that's a really important sound of up north, is a loon.
Yeah, is a loon. Yeah, and I should get better at my loon impression.
No, that sounds like
that's
good.
An owl.
Ooh. No, that's a dove.
That's a nervous owl. Yeah.
We had doves in our, in my elementary school, we had like a front fountain with like koi fish.
Yeah.
And then a bunch of doves.
Wow.
That just unlocked a core memory there.
That noise unlocked that core memory.
That really, that's weird. Why would they have that at an elementary school?
I don't know.
That sounds kind of like unsanitary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very unsanitary. What?
We also became a magnet school, so I was learning languages in the third grade.
How many of them do you still know?
I was learning Mandarin when I was in third grade to sixth grade. Shishi, Tai Chen. And then I know how to count to 10. And then I know Spanish.
Wow. Spanish.
Aren't you doing Babbel?
Yeah.
How's that going?
I've been trying. It's not going great.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm hoping maybe I'll get back into it. But
yeah.
Trying to be more educated in my older age, you know?
And just to show you where we're at today, yesterday was Charlie's birthday.
Yes.
And today you're going to go to your first pitch.
Yep.
I can tell you're a little nervous in the studio today. Can you guys see it at home?
I'm a little anxious, guys. Okay, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm throwing the opening pitch at the Brewers game, which is an incredible honor. But you know that there are a bunch of people in the stadium who are like, who the hell is this guy? Why does he get to be down there doing that? You know,
mostly your parents. Mostly your family.
Mostly my dad will be shouting this from the sideline. Yeah, but, you know, and I was out practicing yesterday. There were some wild pitches, but I was talking to, here's a flex. I was talking to Christian Yelich. No big deal. No big deal. No, actually, Christian also works with Lineys. So we did a video about it, which is coming out soon, but it's basically Christian training me to throw the first pitch, you know, using the brewery as kind of our training facility.
How is Christian these days?
He's probably taken, Colleen, okay? Have some water. You're looking thirsty. Okay, have a jolly good. You're looking thirsty.
Hannah, cut that.
No, Hannah, keep that in.
I'm a Cubs fan anyway. It wouldn't work.
Oh, yeah, it probably wouldn't. That's true. That's true. But, no, I'm excited to go throw the opening pitch. I was practicing with John and Billy Doucette yesterday. I was wild. But I was talking to Christian, and he basically said, don't put it in the dirt. If you got to go wild, go wild, but do not put it in the dirt. So I'm going to do my best. And that's all I can do, folks.
Are you going to practice today? Do you need help? I was a baseball sister, so.
Were you? Well, that's great. I may need some help.
I used to keep book for my brother's team.
Oh, good for you.
So that's I know great. Baseball.
You know. That's.
And I'm a pitcher for my kickball team. So
I learn so much about you every time on this podcast.
This is my only chance. I'm usually in the trenches of work. And so now it's like I come up for the sunlight and I'm like, hello world, hear about me.
Well,
yeah, if you want help, let me know.
All right. Well, I will.
Okay.
I will take you up on that.
Great. We're
happy to have you too, above the trenches. But anyway, I think we should just get right into it. What do you think?
For sure.
All right, folks, here is my conversation with Stephen and Kelly from Get the Let Out. I just want to thank you both, first of all, for coming on the Cripes Cast. I've been a Fisher my whole life. It's been ingrained in Wisconsin culture, but also my culture growing up. Did it with, you know, both my grandpas, my dad, and everything. And I was talking about fishing. I don't know if it was on this podcast or the Belly Dub podcast, but one of you reached out and said, hey, you're talking about using lead heads. Do you know how bad lead is for loons or something? And like, it was one of those things where I was like, well, yeah, I mean, that makes sense. It's lead. But like, I just always called jigs lead heads, like the same way you call your brother a jackass. You know what I mean? It's just like synonymous. So I never really stopped, though, to think too much about what goes into making our lures. And of course, you look at the back of the lure, you know, and you see this product is known to contain chemicals that cause cancer, but only in the state of California. So I didn't worry about it too much because it was in Wisconsin. But anyway, so I'm so glad you guys reached out. And I'm really interested in figuring out more. So kind of take it away from there.
Yeah, well, we have two Minnesota Green Corps members who are serving with us. Minnesota Green Corps is an AmeriCorps program, and Kyle is serving with us this year. He's a Wisconsinite, and he heard you refer to them as leadheads. So he was the one who started all this kind of going and reached out.
Got it.
Yep. So we're happy that to talk to you about what we're doing. Would you like just a kind of information about the work that we're doing, why we're doing it?
Yeah, give us the backdrop. And first of all, introduce both of you. So I know we've got both of you on today. So introduce yourselves and just, you know, give us the cliff notes for the listeners who are just joining us.
Sure. Stephen, if you want to go first, and then I'll introduce myself and just give a little bit of a background about the program.
I'm Stephen Yang. I'm one of the program coordinators for the Get the Let Out program at the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Stephen. And Kelly?
And I'm Kelly Amiff. I'm the other program coordinator. Stephen and I started this work in late 2020. And just a background about Get the Let Out. This is a restart of this program at the Pollution Control Agency. It ran from 2000 to about 2010 and then was cut. And unfortunately, we came back into existence because of the Deepwater Horizon oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico, which we're coming up on the 13th anniversary of that oil spill. So it was in 2010. And in the months and years after that oil spill, researchers scrambled to the Gulf to really assess the environmental damage, not only to the water and the land there, but also all the animals that make their homes in the Gulf. And part of the research that came out of it was about Minnesota loons and really learning more about their migration patterns. So Kevin Keenow at the U.S. Geological Survey Office in Wisconsin, he led a team that really looked at the migration patterns of loons and was able to present that Minnesota loons were there during the oil spill and they were affected. And so the estimated number of loons lost in the oil spill, we'll never know the exact number, but just by doing some population data, they figured about 600 to 1,000 loons that were lost. And for Minnesota, we have the second most loons in the entire country, just behind Alaska. The estimated population is 12,000. For you, Charlie, in Wisconsin, I had to look it up. It was a little tricky to find population numbers in Wisconsin, but it's about 4,000 adults. So we have a lot of loons here. And I would say kind of the one of the struggles Stephen and I have with this work is trying to make sense of, we have such a big loon population, a small number of loons were lost in this oil spill. Why do we need to work so aggressively to protect and restore their population? And loons are a very long-lived species of birds. They can live up to 25 to 30 years.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA life insurance.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
He's the Grave Digger, Gilbert Brown.
Where can you go where it's always a standing room only? You ain't gonna find that in Chicago.
It's never personal, only politics.
You ain't gonna find that in Minnesota, standing room only, because you can go to the gumball machine, stick a quarter in there, I'll come take it.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
That's the way it is, man. We love football, fans love us.
Weekdays 4 to 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast. Overcast skies this afternoon with a chance for scattered showers. Daytime highs approaching 57. Southeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Tonight lows level off around 51. Cloudy skies. Chance for isolated thunderstorms again. Tomorrow highs around 69. Mainly cloudy skies expected. Chance for scattered thunderstorms Monday. Chance for scattered rain showers on Tuesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 53.
But they're annoying when they, you know what I mean? They wake me up. Why should people care about loons, even if they don't care about loons?
Charlie, I would love for those people to email us and tell us that they don't like loons, because Steve and I have talked to people all around Minnesota, all ages, and we like to say that we haven't met someone yet who doesn't like loons. So
you know what? That's that actually is pretty amazing, because I now that I say that, I don't think I've ever personally met someone who doesn't. I just imagine. Now, I'm a big bird guy, so I love myself a loon. But yeah, I would just imagine, and maybe that's the wrong imagination to be going for. Maybe everybody does love loons, but let's say for the sake of argument, they don't. What is the importance of the loon to the greater ecosystem?
Yeah, so, and you're an outdoorsman, and people here in this part of the country, we love being on the water no matter the season, right? And so loons as a species, we can consider them to be indicator species of water quality. They are visual predators. They need clean, clear water in order to see and catch their food. And so as we start to see our climate change as well and see fewer loons on lakes that we're used to seeing, that's an indication that maybe something's happening with that body of water as well. And, you know, the current projection from Audubon is that by 2080 here in Minnesota, like, I'll be super old, but when I talk to kids, I'm like, that's your lifetime. That's you. Like, you'll be alive. And is that loons won't be here in Minnesota anymore because of our warming climate and our changing water. So I think it's not only making a change in the type of fishing tackle we're using to stop preventable deaths, but also thinking about what other actions can we take to protect the ecosystem, protect the water that loons need in order to raise their young and live healthy lives here in this part of the country.
Steven, anything to add to that?
Yeah, I'd also add that loons already face many human-caused threats. So, for example, wake boats and shoreline development impacts the shoreline that loons need that habitat for nesting. So we're just trying to minimize as many, you know, human-caused threats as we can to the loons who might not be here in 2080.
So you're saying those big wakeboarding boats, or just any boat causing a wake?
I think it's the big one. It's not our area of expertise, but I would assume it's the big, large ones that send huge wakes that inundate a loon's nesting habitat or eggs or whatnot.
Got you. Okay, well, let's focus on the fishing tackle. How much of the lures that we use, the jigs, whatever, how much of it has lead?
I would say a lot of it, to be completely frank. And lead is very popular for many reasons. First, it's very cheap, and it's very easy to manufacture, low melting point, easy to mold and shape. So there are valid reasons why lead is the most popular metal for a fishing tackle at the moment. But there are many alternatives out there too that perform just as well or even better. Like in the case of tungsten, many ice anglers know that those little tungsten jig heads drop very fast, very sensitive, very dense. So yeah, I'd say for the most part, long story short, if there's a molded piece of metal on the tackle that you're buying, chances are it's probably lead, unless it specifically states that it's lead free or made out of a certain material like tungsten.
Tungsten works just as well as lead.
I'd say it works much better than lead. It's probably the highest performing lead free alternative that is out there.
Okay, so tungsten works better than lead.
Correct.
Why is it so hard to convince fishermen to use it then?
Yeah, cost is definitely the biggest factor with tungsten. It's in most cases, not all cases, from my personal experience, just from looking at products that are out there, in most cases it does cost more. But what I tell folks is that the performance is there and you pay more to have a higher performing product. So that's the biggest factor for most people, I'd say.
Isn't that funny? You're not going to get them with the loons. You're not going to get them, hey, man, this will help save the loons. No, these perform better. You know,
exactly.
It's like this can catch you bigger fish. It's funny. It's funny that's the thing that we go for. Now, first of all, before we go forward with the tungsten and the fishing alternatives, is it just loons? Geese are the ones that they grab the gravel to help them digest food, right? And do loons do that as well, or how are loons ingesting these lead heads?
Yeah, loons do that as well. So the primary way I should state is that loons ingest lead through the fish that they eat. So loons obviously don't have teeth, so they just house down any fish that they consume. So the fish is either being reeled in by an angler who's using lead tackle, their fish has broken off with lead tackle attached. So a loon catches up to the fish, swallows it whole, the lead comes with it too. And like you mentioned, Charlie, they do they grab pebbles to store in their gizzards to home digest. And they grab these pebbles off the bottom of lakes, which is where our lost lead sinkers and jigs end up too. And these sinkers and jigs are very similar in shape and size as the pebbles that they need for their gizzards. So loons could easily mistake them for what they need, the pebbles to help them digest.
And how much lead does it take to kill a loon?
Not much. Even a small lead split shot sinker is enough to kill a loon, those very tiny ones. Probably a grain of rice.
So basically, I got a perch on, and I don't tie my jig on tight enough, or I don't tie my sinker on tight enough, or the perch swallows it, you know, and you cut the line, and the perch is now wounded, right? And it's like, now it's easy prey. So it's going to get nabbed by either a loon or by an eagle, you know. Does this lead affect the eagles too?
So in addition to loons, eagles, the percentage of eagles that are brought into, you know, the Raptor Center is a main rehabilitation center here in the Twin Cities at the U of M campus. The percentage of eagles that brought in there with lead in their systems, I think it's in the 80th percentile, like it's 80% or more. And so the eagles are often feeding on gut piles from, you know, from deer hunting, but they can also ingest lead fishing tackle as well. And then other species too, like trumpeter swans, it's a big issue for trumpeter swans as well. They're herbivores. They're, like you said, with geese, just picking up plants. And so they're picking up all that lost fishing tackle. So we like to tell people, like, whether you lost a jig last summer or 15 years ago or longer ago, it's still in the bottom of that lake. So it could still pose a risk to wildlife.
So I'm a big hunter and fisher, and when I'm hunting, bird hunting specifically, we're using steel shot. And there's not a lot of argument about that. There's not a lot of hunters that are going to be like, nah, screw it, I'm going to use lead shot. It's kind of frowned upon. You're kind of a jackass. And the reason is, obviously, for that is that the same reason you don't use lead fishing. So how come the hunting community has embraced not using lead over waterways, but the fishing community has not?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think a lot of it just...
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. A day of historic events is coming to a close in London now that the coronation of King Charles III is over.
I think for both the king and the queen, it was wonderful for them to come in, and I expect they were very nervous. and to go through this ancient ceremony with its many different stages, which must to many people look almost extraordinary. And yet all of it's got this most wonderful story in it. And we've watched that, we've witnessed it, and the king is now anointed, crowned, and enthroned.
ABC News royal consultant Alistair Bruce, an officer of arms to the king on the first day of the new king and queen's reign. A grand jury will look into the death of Jordan Neely, who died after being placed in a chokehold by a fellow New York subway rider last week. There are calls for Daniel Penny, the veteran who restrained Neely, to be charged. Another retailer is taking steps to stop its financial struggles. Christmas Tree Shops has filed for bankruptcy. This is ABC News.
Continue the conversation online. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook and on Twitter.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matinere. Here's what you need to know. A motion requiring both the Wisconsin Assembly and Senate approve hiring investigators was voted down by the Republican majority and the Joint Finance Committee this week. Democrats introduced the measure in response to Michael Gabelman's unsuccessful attempt to find voter fraud in the 2020 election. The two-year investigation, which found no evidence of fraud, cost taxpayers over $2 million. Gabelman was hired by Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, then later fired by Voss, after Gabelman campaigned for the speaker's primary challenger. Wisconsin's DNR and the Department of Health Services advising only one meal per week of rainbow smelt from the Bay of Green Bay and associated tributaries up to the first dam. That includes portions of the Peshtigo, Oconto, and Menominee Rivers. This comes after elevated levels of PFAS were found in rainbow smelt that were sampled from Green Bay. I'm Jane Matinere. This is Civic Media News.
Larry, it's your mom. Did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
He's the grave digger, Gilbert Brown.
Where can you go where it's always a standing room only? You ain't gonna find that in Chicago.
It's never personal, only politics.
You ain't gonna find that in Minnesota, standing room only, because you can go to the gumball machine, stick a quarter in there, I'll come pick it.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
That's the way it is, man. We love football fans. Fans love us.
Weekdays 4 to 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's a two-way street. I wonder if they know or care or are. So you're doing this sort of, you're mainly going after, why do you choose to go after the consumer and not the manufacturer? Or are you doing a two-pronged approach, or is there a reason you're choosing the consumer?
We're really proud of the fact that we have, what are we up to? We're 160 maybe, Stephen, on our manufacturer list. So there are manufacturers that are making lead-free options. They're smaller scale, so we're not, you know. And so we really work hard to promote those smaller businesses to people to help people know these are all the options out there on the market. I would say just looking at some of the things that are left over from the early 2000s is that the market and the products that are out there have really narrowed. And it's as Stephen talked about at the beginning, it's about performance. But I feel like the battle in the early 2000s around lead-free was that people weren't going to catch fish. And I feel like we don't hear that as often from anglers. Now we hear more about the price point. So we really try and promote these. I mean, And we're trying to get more lead-free options into smaller bait and tackle stores here in Minnesota too, but it's trying to get our way into all kinds of different groups of people and, you know, trying to convince, you know, large-scale manufacturer to change over their factory to all lead-free. I'm not sure we'd be able to accomplish that during the time period of our work.
But yeah, that said, we do have a good working relationship with many manufacturers out there because we do procure lead-free options to hand out in sample packs or small starter kits for summer camps. So just by, you know, doing business, buying lead-free tackle from these manufacturers, I've got some good relationships and contacts with them too.
And are there manufacturers that are producing both lead and lead-free?
Correct. Yep.
Yeah. So you don't want to be like, you don't want to, you want to give them the carrot, not the stick kind of a situation. Yeah. Got it. Well, that makes sense. I mean, it makes sense to just work with people and, you know, it's been going on for a long time and it's got to be fixed, but it's not treating it like it's the end of the world either. Kind of building that momentum and that collaboration. And over time, you're hoping that, you know, people will figure it out. Hey folks, keep her moving to Civic Media every Saturday and Sunday at noon for the Cripescast with me, Charlie Behrens.
We've been out here all day. We've had five or six beers and only one fish.
CBS News Brief. Worries ahead of the Kentucky Derby as the early favorite, Forte, is scratched hours before the race with a bruised right foot. So where does that leave racing fans like Stan Starks?
I'm going with the Japanese horse, if I can pronounce it, Derma Sotagaki. And I also like the horse from Arkansas, Angel of Empire.
In London,
His Majesty's Armed Forces! Royal salute!
Pageantry and pomp as King Charles and Queen Camilla are crowned. This woman was one of tens of thousands who went to watch history being made.
I think it's the memory. It's building memories and saying, you know, where were you when this happened? And to say that we were actually here.
The Palestinian Health Ministry says Israeli forces shot and killed two Palestinians during a military raid in the West Bank. But the Israeli military says the two men were suspected of carrying out a shooting attack at an Israeli settlement. CBS News Brief. Allison Keys.
Are record high energy and water costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive. While you may not ask for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to be without heat, water, or power. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.heat.help. That's www.heat.help.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weichert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Home ownership is a big deal, and so is taking the leap into the buying or selling of any property. The Weichert team gets that, and our job is to help you navigate the sales process and provide smooth sailing. You have questions? We have answers. You have worries? We have solutions. Let us open the door to your future home. Weichert Realtors Lake Point, 608-721-8002, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weichert-lakepoint.com.
What's for dinner? Burgers?
After last week, no thanks.
Avoiding foods due to fear of diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose oily stools? It may not be just stomach issues. It could be EPI, or exocrine pancreatic insufficiency. EPI can cause uncomfortable symptoms because it's a condition where the pancreas doesn't release enough digestive enzymes to break down food. But EPI can be managed. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor about your symptoms. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
If you're just joining us, I am Charlie Behrens, host of the Cripescast, and we are talking with the folks from Get the Lead Out. Here's our conversation. What are some good lead-free alternative brands that people can seek out?
Yeah, Kelly mentioned we have a list of over 100 lead-free tackle manufacturing retailers.
Yeah, we'll put a link in the show notes. Okay. How does that sound?
Okay. Yeah, that works great. So we have a list over 160, I think, is how many line items there are of lead-free tackle products that are out there. And they include big manufacturers, so big Minnesota-based ones like Clam, Northland, Water, Gremlin, but also very small, medium-sized businesses that rely solely on e-commerce for various reasons, I'm sure. So there are definitely some big companies out there, like I mentioned, Northland, Clam, Water, Gremlin, that do have lead-free options.
Have you had conversations like with the legislature about, I mean, you know, you think of Minnesota, don't you guys have the loon on friggin' everything, every sweatshirt, every hat, you know?
Just about. You would think that this would be a really easy sell.
It's on your quarter. That's exactly right.
Yeah, like, it's everywhere.
It's your state bird?
It's our state bird.
The loon's your state bird. So what the hell? Don't you think like the legislature would be like, we're screwing the loon, guys, and it's not that hard to not do it. I mean, look, think about the bald eagle. When they were like, oh, the bald eagle's getting that DDT, you know, all of America was like, that's our freaking bird, man. And then they changed it up. Why is that so hard in Minnesota, of all places, to put a law against using lead in the water?
I wish Steve and I had an easy answer to that. So we do a lot of things in our work, but we are a non-legislative group. Like, we can't have anything to do with legislative due to our cooperative agreement with the Fish and Wildlife Service and the DNR.
Due to what?
We have a cooperative agreement with the Fish and Wildlife Service and the DNR. That's our funding source. So we don't delve into legislative issues. But yeah.
Well, I don't understand why, though.
It's just written into the terms of the work that we're doing that we can't promote or endorse any kind of legislation that's currently happening.
Why? Like, what was the point in writing that in it? That doesn't make any sense to me.
That's all we've known since we've been working on this since 2020.
So they don't want you having any say in the legislative aspect?
Yeah. Huh. There are things happening in the Minnesota legislature right now about lead fishing tackle and protection of species. So that is happening, but no easy answers, Charlie, for why we can't get Minnesotans on board with getting this smaller size lead out of our stores and off of our fishing lines. I wish we had an easy answer.
Well, how come they can do it with hunting, though? You know, again, I bring that up. How can they do it with hunting and like, what's the difference?
Yeah, that's a good point. I just thought up, too, that, you know, with hunting, it was brought up to me by a manufacturer. You know, with hunting, you shoot a shell, you shoot a bullet, and then you have to buy another one. Whereas fishing, if you cast out a jig, you're not gonna buy another jig. So I believe that hunters are constantly in that purchasing mode. I go through a box of shells, gotta buy the next one. So they're always thinking about what could they buy, whether they stick with the old one or they go with the new lead free one. So I think that's why hunters have gone very far in terms of personal consumer choices.
I don't know. Is it consumer choices? Isn't not illegal? I've hunted waterfowl in three different states, one of which is South Carolina. And let me tell you, in South Carolina, it's hard to find a regulation anybody gives a shit about. But that was the buddy I went with, very, very conservative, don't tread on me kind of guy. And he was like, you got to get steel shot, you're not putting any lead in the it was a place over by his farm or whatever. But I mean, that's a place, you know, that you would think they wouldn't care. They care very deeply. If you can get South Carolina to care about not putting lead into their waterways, I'm sure you can get Minnesota to feel the same. And I understand there is a difference between the hunting and the fishing. Hunting, it's always going out, you're not retrieving any of those pellets. Fishing, very different. It's almost like it's already out there. So how do you enforce it? Maybe that's it, right? Like, how do you really enforce? Are you going to tell a kid who's just got this tackle he can't do anything else that he can't use that tackle? Is that it?
Yeah. And in terms of the waterfowl hunting, and Steve and I, we talk about hunting somewhat, but it's not our main focus. And the waterfowl ban on lead shot, I think, came in the early 90s, and it's a national thing through the Fish and Wildlife Service. Waterfowl hunting. So that's why steel shot, it's just, it is what it is now, right? It kind of takes a generation for there to be this change where it's like, why would we ever use lead? We've always used steel. So part of what we're trying to do too is trying to have a generational change with kids and be like, use lead free. This is why.
Yeah.
And don't even think about using lead.
Yeah. Right. No, I mean, look, I pretty much just learned that, you know, from you both. So thank you. And Kyle, who reached out. So, you know, thank you for letting me know, because I'm as ignorant as, you know, everybody else on this issue, really. Yeah. So I guess it just is about getting it out, getting that information out there. But anyway, you would think that, and I understand legislation is not within your realm of possibilities for some unknown reason, which I'm sure there's a really good reason for. But I think that it would be cool to see, you know, people at least have a plan for eliminating lead from the sort of tackle supply, given that it is as big of an issue as you both say it is. So that aside, I do have a bigger question I need to ask you both about. Minnesota is the land of 10,000 lakes, but Wisconsin, we got 15,000 lakes, and we don't feel the need to put it on our license plate. I'm just going to say that. Okay. So what's going on with this? Huh?
Yeah. As mentioned, Charlie, I got into this argument with a lot of folks when I was in Madison.
Yes.
It was either the cabin versus cottage debate, the 10,000 lakes debate, classic Minnesota-Wisconsin debates.
Yeah.
But yeah, from what I vaguely remember, I think Minnesota has a stricter definition of what is a lake, whereas Wisconsin has a looser definition. So it's like the acreage, and also Wisconsin includes unnamed lakes. Don't quote me on that, but if Minnesota were to loosen our definition of a lake, would have way more. So,
and then you'd have to name them all, which is...
Yeah, that's true.
That's no easy task. You can just ask random Lake Wisconsin.
Yeah,
it's tough like naming all these lakes. Okay, so you're maintaining that if Minnesota counted every puddle like Wisconsin does, you guys would have more lakes than us still.
I would say so, yeah.
Okay.
Don't quote me on any of this. It's not my area of expertise. I had to look it up to settle debate.
Okay. All right. And casserole or hot dish?
I like hot dish. Kelly, how are you?
I grew up in the South, actually. I'm originally from Minnesota, but spent my entire childhood in the South and didn't even probably know what a hot dish was until I was in my 20s. So I'm going to go casserole.
Okay. Wow. All right. So no allegiances. Where in the South did you grow up?
I grew up outside of Atlanta. In the other Duluth.
I didn't know they had a Duluth down there.
Yep.
Duluth, Georgia, huh?
Yep.
Swampier this time of year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. Is there anything I missed, guys, in all sort of the questions I asked about this, or any important things that you think would, like, inspire people to maybe change up their tackle or anything like that?
Yeah, I could provide tips on how to go lead free. I've done it myself and know many people who have. So certain tips that, you know, I found useful when I was kind of searching for lead free tackles, don't do it all at once, because if you do, probably won't have much tackle left, to be completely honest.
Are record high energy and water costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive. While you may not ask for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to be without heat, water, or power. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.heat.help. That's www.heat.help.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
Here's your updated forecast. Overcast skies this afternoon with a chance for scattered showers. Daytime highs approaching 57. Southeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Tonight lows level off around 51. Cloudy skies. Chance for isolated thunderstorms again. Tomorrow highs around 69. Mainly cloudy skies expected. Chance for scattered thunderstorms Monday. Chance for scattered rain showers on Tuesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 53.
I'm going to talk like my dad now, just for a second, to these kids. Make sure you learn how to do a good cinch knot or a palmer knot or whatever. Don't go, you know, over the river and through the woods with just work on your knots, kids, okay? Because this stuff is expensive. And, oh, my gosh, I'm just getting elevated blood pressure just thinking about it. But, you know, I'm sure that's as I'm talking like this, I'm sure that's a big, as you guys have mentioned in this too, cost is a huge thing. So learning how to tie a good fishing knot. Maybe that's what I should do, a fishing knot tutorial at the end of this to show people how to tie a proper knot.
Yeah.
And then I'll get all the haters being like, that's not how you tie it, bro. You're going to lose all your lures like that. But it's a couple basic knots. The cinch knot and the palmer knot is sort of, they go well. And also, you know, the line you're using and everything like that can help too. So,
yeah, definitely. It all comes down to being a responsible angler, and responsible could involve many things, you know, using up-to-date line and tying it well, handling fish with care, and also in our case, using lead-free tackle.
Yeah.
And like Steven said, start slow. Like, we acknowledge, Charlie, like, you know, Steven and I cleaned out all of our lead kind of as soon as we started doing this, because we were like, we got to walk the walk here. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of overwhelming when you look at your tackle box. And, you know, I had inherited my grandfather's and I had my dad's tackle box, and it's a lot of lead and it's overwhelming. And so we always say, like, you don't have to do it all at once, but can you just like try one new lead free product this season and see how it goes, and like maybe make the transition a little bit at a time until it's just something that you're going to fish with all the time.
Hmm. Yeah. Aside for lead, is there anything else in conventional fishing tackle that's concerning from an environmental standpoint?
I know some are made out of zinc too. That's a known toxin too to wildlife.
Zinc. So zinc and lead. Got it. All right. Well, thank you so much. That I know that I learned a lot in doing this, and you know, as much as I maybe, you know, get annoyed sometimes if like people know there's a problem and yet we're still, you know, selling it or whatever, you both have a much healthier, I think, thought process on it of just get people in, just try it, give it a go. You don't have to make the entire transition tomorrow, but in the long term, it's what makes sense. So just give it a go. The next time you're over at the Fleet Farm or wherever, buy a more fishing tackle, look for the tungsten jigs and the tungsten weights. And they make tungsten weights too, huh?
Split shot is usually tin. Yeah.
Tin. Okay.
Yeah. And yeah, Charlie, what do you like to fish for?
I like, oh my gosh. So walleye, primarily, you know, but also perch. I do like, and some people are gonna, I love fishing for northern pike and bass, because pike, I'm just going under the assumption I'm not gonna get a muskie, so I just like going for the pike and hoping a muskie hits, you know. Every time I'm going for muskie anyway, I just get pike, so I just say I'm fishing for pike, but they do give a nice fight, you know. But I've also gotten into fly fishing because my buddy's really into it. I like fishing for anything at the end. Bluegills give a good fight too, you know. And you're always like, oh, it's a bluegill, but you got to appreciate the fight of a bluegill. You're like, ah, could be a bass. It's almost like bluegill's like the Superman of fish. It's a bird. It's a plane. No, it's Superman. It's a pike. It's a bass. Oh, it's a bluegill? Son of a bitch. You know, but they are pretty fish.
We'd be happy to send you some lead-free tackle too, just to, if you don't have much in your tackle box, to give you a sampling of what we're sharing with people. And
I would love that. Great. I would love that. And actually, if you send that over, we can add it to the intro of this podcast too. We'll show folks what you're kind of working with. So that would be great.
We can do that.
Thank you.
We also have deer too. If you and Colleen like want a t-shirt or
sure,
a trucker hat or a bucket hat, we have stuff.
Yeah, that sounds good. You guys send us. We're gonna do a merch exchange. We're gonna send you both some Manitowoc Minute stuff too.
Love it.
Awesome.
Well, really appreciate you both for coming on. You're doing amazing work. Thank you for it. And make sure you watch out for loons. They are beautiful time of year.
Thanks, and they'll be back in the next probably couple weeks. So.
You like how I said that? Like they're trees. Oh my gosh, they're beautiful this time of year. And actually, real quick story. I was like out kayaking this one time up north, up in Wisconsin, border of the UP. And it was early in the morning. I was up because one of my siblings was crying or something. Big family, so one of the younger ones. And so I was going through this one bay and I was just sitting there and it was dead silent. And then all of a sudden I heard. And all like probably 100 loons just came in all at the same time and just landed there. And it was like the loons. I think there were loon babies there, although they can't really fly, can they? So no. Maybe I was just on drugs. I don't know. I wasn't on drugs. Anyway, though, I was sitting in this bay and there were just all these loons there and it looked so magical. And the more I say this, I don't even know if loons go in that big of packs, you know, that big of flocks. Do they go in that big of flocks?
Certain times of year, especially like
late summer,
as like fall migrations kind of gearing up. A lot of loons will actually go and stage on Lake Michigan for a while, and they'll just kind of hang out in these big groups. So,
That's probably what it was. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was on the Cisco chain, which is a big chain of lakes up there in the UP in Wisconsin. So, but it was really magical. It was a cool thing to just witness and be there for. And also, I suppose at that time of year, would there really be, there wouldn't be many young ones at that point anyway, would they?
The juveniles are often left behind on the lakes they were born on, and they'll stick around sometimes late into the fall but the adults will head out before them.
Okay. Leave the kids at home.
Yeah. Leave them at home. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it was a cool experience for me seeing the loons, and I hope that, you know, many generations to come can witness that and hopefully remember it better than I recollected it. But I do remember it being very cool. So anyway, thank you both for your work. And we'll talk to you guys soon.
Great. Thank you for having us on and sharing about this issue and this message to all of your followers too. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Charlie. Thank you, Colleen. And shout out to Kyle for making this happen.
Yeah. Thanks, right. Colleen.
She says bye now. All right. See you guys.
See you.
Huge thanks to Stephen and Kelly for coming on the Cripes Cast. I learned a lot. I hope you did too. Colleen, if people want to figure out more about Get the Lead Out, where do they go?
All right. So if you want to know more about this initiative and what's going on, you can go to www.pcastate.mn and it will just talk to you all about what they're doing and their initiative to try to get the lead out of fish. Also, if you want to find more about where to get lead-free alternatives, we will put the link in the show notes. And like Steven said in
the moms, they really are the best. So this year, give her something really special. Write a special message for your mom and we'll broadcast it right here on this station throughout the entire weekend of Mother's Day. Call 608-819-8255. 608-819-8255.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.